17, 18, 19. There is so little biblical truth being taught that when I preach, some people think I'm mean, and I'm not mean. If you think I'm mean, you don't know me.
That's right.
I'm not mean. I talked to a mean preacher the other day. I kept having to back up. He kept coming up. But seriously, I'm not mean. But see, there's such a famine in our land for biblical truth. You turned on TV this morning. You saw that Stanley boy preaching with about a half a verse. And you saw different I can't even name them all anymore. And they'll bring out a little piece of a verse, and it's two or three points in a poem, and you're done. Because it all revolved around entertainment before he got there. And so when I stand up and I preach biblical truth, this morning I taught out of the book of Romans on we as Christians being dead and buried in Christ, resurrected in Christ, and walking in Christ. And if you didn't know anything about the Bible, it sounded crazy. It did. But it's biblical truth. So today, I'm going to preach on something, and if you'll hang on to the end, you'll see I'm not being mean, but I'm being truthful. Many times, we need to be truthful and not worry about where it lands, okay?
Amen.
As a pastor and a preacher, I have to preach to everybody. I got to preach to everybody. And Nancy's got me on Facebook, and I'm telling you, these people are watching it, and I didn't think anybody would watch it. But anyway, when I'm trying to be truthful, according to the Scripture, sometimes, if you've never had that, it's kind of rough. But I'm not being mean. And I want to tell you that I love you. I love you, and if I didn't love you, I would preach on 7 ways to be rich, or 10 ways to be happy. Amen?
Yeah.
And so today, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 7. I want to give you some warning, okay? Proverbs chapter 7. If the bridge was out, wouldn't you want me to tell you?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 6. I was talking about Romans chapter 6 earlier, okay? Proverbs chapter 6. The devil don't like this. He's been after me all morning. I started to change it. All right. We're in the right book, Proverbs. We're in the right chapter, chapter 6. Right? We're in the right verse, number 16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Some people wouldn't even know that was in the Bible. God hates some things. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. That word means, the abomination means ugly, stinketh like a dead carcass. It's an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates some things. There's 7 things that God hates. The God of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's everybody in it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means die and go to hell. Now that God loves me. That God loves you. That God loves everybody. That covers everybody on planet Earth that ever has been or ever will be born. And now God loves us. God loves the whole world. God loves everybody. But that same God that is a God of love, and that's part of his character. He's part of love. Character is a part of him. And that's what he is. He's love. When you look at God for what he is, you'll see love. He loves you so much. Nobody ever loves you so much they let their son die in your place. God loves you, and you see that when you first meet him. This is a wonderful God and a loving God and a gentle and a kind God. That's part of his character. But then there's another part of his character too, and that's called holiness. Now, the reason he's holy is because he hates anything that has anything to do with sin, and he hates that because that sin would hurt the people and the things that he does love.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He doesn't hate those people. He hates those things. And it's not because he hates people. It's that he hates the things, the sin that would hurt the people that he loves and he wants to save. Do you not see that? You can't have the love of God without the hatred of God. God hated sin so much that he let his son be nailed on a tree, whipped, mocked, spit on, crucified, cussed, and he loved us so much that he let that son, sit up, girl, sit up, and don't sit up here if you want to sleep. Listen, and listen, he loved God so much, God loved us so much that he let his son die for our sins. That's how much he hates sin. But that's how much he loves the sinner. So when I preach like this, I'm not trying to tell you that God hates you or he's against you. I'm trying to tell you God's for you.
Amen.
He's all about you. Okay? So he names seven things here that he just hates. Well, now wait a minute. You can't hate and be a Christian. You can. You're supposed to hate the same things that God hates. Well, Christians can't hate. They can. Christians can get angry. Christians can get mad. Christians can hate. And listen, because God does some of these things. Now, you can't hate people. You got to hate the sin that's hurting those people because they'd have a good relationship with you and God if it wasn't for the sin that was hurting them. But because you name it, they get convicted. And that like throwing a rock. You know, if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one it hits is the one's going to holler. That's what I tell people at church. I say, I'm just throwing the rocks. Whichever one it hits, you're guilty. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just preaching. Amen. I'm just throwing rocks. And if you go out, then he's talking to you. And every once in a while you'll do that. You'll say, there's two things you'll say during preaching. Amen or oh me. That's all you got to say. Amen or oh me. I've been to meetings before the preacher be preaching right down my alley. I mean, he'd be preaching right down my alley, and I'd say, oh, me. Got to get that right. Amen?
Amen.
And so God has seven things that he hates. Number one, he hates a proud look. Number two, he hates a lying tongue. Now, I'm going to hold that number one till last. And I'm going to come back to that. But Revelation 21 and verse 27 says that the liars shall not have any part in heaven and they'll be outside the gate. God hates lying. Now, a lying tongue, he hates it. Matter of fact, James says our tongue is set on fire of the devil, of the fires of hell is our tongue. He said if you can bridle that thing, he said, men bridle horses. They put a bridle in there and they turn them any way they want them to go. And he said, if you can bridle that thing, you're doing real good.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's our biggest enemy right there.
Yes,
I know a lot of times people come to me and they say, now, preacher, you know I never would gossip, but. And I start thinking, there comes the fire. Here comes the fire. They fix to lay it on me. They're going to say something that later on they wish they hadn't said. Amen.
Amen.
This thing will tell a lie in a heartbeat. Some of you think your children never would lie. You need to wake up. They probably lied to you already today. If they didn't, they will before the day's out. Because God gave them parents to help them to bridle that tongue. Amen? You don't have to teach people how to lie. It comes natural. You lied to me this morning. You come up here and told me how happy you was to see me. So I'm going to preach right over there. Come up here, preach. I mean, she didn't want me to give her a piece of candy. But listen, I got news for you and everybody in this room. This thing right here, dangerous thing. Did you know this will hurt people as much as any sword you ever owned, any pistol you ever fired? Some people have been destroyed by nothing but a tongue. Some loose lip, you know they say loose lips sink ships. Some loose lip man or hussy that done went around saying something that wasn't true. And by the way, every time a lie, gossip, every time it gets passed from one place to another, did you know it doesn't stay the same? Something gets added on. and gets added on. And they'll say, that Billy Boatwright, did you know I saw him run a stoplight the other day? And then the next one says, I heard that Billy Boatwright run a stoplight and cussed out a highway patrolman that pulled him over. Another one said, ain't nothing. I heard he wrecked that truck. He done wrecked that big fancy truck he's got, and he's mad at that guy, and he's going to take him to court. And that little old piece of snow will become a big old giant snowball, and everywhere it goes, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and you started it. You're going to destroy somebody's reputation. A fellow told me the other day, he said, I heard you was dead. I said, that's greatly exaggerated. Yeah. I said, I feel like I might look like sometimes, but I'm not dead, amen? But listen, that lying tongue, and the Bible says all liars, there in Revelation, says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You say, but preacher, we all lie. But a liar is a person that continually lies. I used to have a brother-in-law. And that boy would rather climb a tree to tell a lie than to stand flat-footed on the ground and tell the truth. He could lie. I mean, nothing. My sister would be standing there and he'd be telling me, he'd weave it as he went along. You ever been around them people? They weave their lie. It just gets bigger and bigger. And she'd look at him, she'd say, my sister would say, you did not. And he'd say, well, you wasn't there this time. But God hates lying. Shame. Shame on us. If we're... Now, if you're saved, you can't be a liar because the Holy Ghost won't let you. But you can tell a lie, and then he'll convict you and straighten you out. Amen? Ain't that right, Brother Billy? Amen? Amen. But now look, really, God ought to hate lying. It's hurt more people. More people. It's hurt more people. Hurt more women's reputation. Destroyed more men's careers. Ruined more Christians' testimonies than all the guns and the knives in the world. One little lie. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Number two was number three. We'll get back to number one. Genesis 9:6. The Bible says if a man is it takes another man's life, he is to die by man's hands. Now, we don't need the Supreme Court to debate that. We don't need the Congress or the Senate or the House of Representatives to make laws on that. That's what God said. It's finished. Now, the Bible says that God hates those who shed innocent blood. You know what that means? They killed somebody that did not deserve it. They walked up to them on the street, stuck a gun up in their face, shot them, robbed them, and left. They walked in a liquor store, pulled out a .45, shot the owner, took his money and left. Or maybe they raped and beat somebody to death, and they walked off and left them. And God says that he hates people that shed innocent blood.
Yes.
I have no sympathy for anyone on trial for murder. Now, there were conditions in the Old Testament. If you killed somebody accidentally, there was conditions on that we could tell, you know, just like a trial. But for a person just to take somebody else's life, innocent people, and that includes the people you're praying against next Saturday, innocent lives being taken, that person is guilty of taking something that only God has the right to take.
Amen.
God help us in this country when the jails are treated like country clubs, and when crooks and murderers are treated like poor, misfortunate people that's been led. No, they made a decision one day to take somebody's life that God created, and they have no right to do that.
Amen.
You say, well, we have electric chair. That's not innocent blood. That person goes that electric chair, he's not innocent. We're doing what God told us to do. He's to die by a man's hand. Society cannot continue to exist if you just let people walk around and take innocent lives. It cannot happen. Amen? God hates that. God hates that. This guy murdered somebody. Can he go to heaven? He can get it under the blood. He can be saved by the grace of God. Ask God to forgive him and get a new heart. And yes, he can go to heaven.
Amen.
But it still does not cancel out the penalty for that sin. There's a lot of people that get saved that the penalty for their sin, the results of their sin will not go away. For instance, you get AIDS from a homosexual relationship, that's an abomination to God. But you can get saved by the grace of God, get that under the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're still going to have to go through suffering in AIDS. He's not going to remove that. Maybe miraculously some have happened, but most times. God says our body's the temple. You go around shooting dope in you, and you go around drinking liquor all your life, and you get cirrhosis of the liver, and you get saved after that in a hospital room somewhere, that does not mean that God's going to take away the cirrhosis of the liver. The wages of sin is still death. You're going to pay the penalty. God hates sin. That's how simple it is. The heart that devises wicked imaginations. You know what that means? They sit around and they figure how to hurt people. That's the reason God destroyed the first population of the earth. All they did was sit around and think of wicked things to do. And God wiped them off the face of the earth. It was called the flood. You say, well, I don't know anybody like that. Boy, there's a bunch of them.
Come on now.
They'll sit around and try to figure out a way to hurt you if they can. They don't have any friends. They hate everybody. And they're always trying to find a way. Look, they'll come to your church, try to hurt your church.
Anywhere.
Yeah. They'll try to hurt your children. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They sit around, they devise. And by the way, the internet's got more of that than you'd ever believe now.
Come on now.
They get in touch with these teenagers, some old pervert. He's not a pedophile, he's a pervert. He's not a homosexual, he's a pervert. Amen?
Yeah.
And they sit around and they get these kids on the internet and they lure them somewhere trying to make them think they're a 16-year-old teenage boy or something. And then they'll get them in there and they'll rape them and kill them and you'll never find the body. And God hates that crowd. God hates that crowd.
Yes,
he does. We ought to. And we don't want anybody to go to hell. But anybody live like that? Listen, you can't just live in society with people like that. The only reason America's lasted as long as it has is because we've gone by biblical principles.
Right.
Amen? Let's look at another one real quick. He said, feet that are swift to running into mischief. They're just looking for trouble.
Yeah.
They'll run to and fro. Some of you teenagers are guilty of that. I was when I was a teenager. Boy, if somebody hollered, there's a fight over here. Boy, we... And ag them on. Do they say ag in Michigan? Ag them on? Do they say ag in California? Oh, y'all say egg. We say ag them on. And they get over, hit him. And that's somebody that's swift to run to mischief. Somebody says, there's a new nightclub over here. Let's go. And they run over there and see what they can get into. Amen? That's this crowd mentality that's going on now, by the way. Black Lives Matter. Oh, got quiet on that one. Boy, they'll run anywhere they can, jump into something. And God hates that. You know why? People that have feet that are swift to mischief, that means they're continually running and getting in trouble all the time.
Right, come on.
Yeah. Now, I didn't go to the principal's office much when I went to school. But by the time I got to the 8th and 9th grade, I was hanging around with the wrong crowd. And I became very familiar with the principal's office and a paddle where they had a strap. A leather strap about that long. Brother Billy, you remember them? You met them.
Yeah.
Billy Burns, you met them, didn't you? Those straps about that long. I couldn't tell you the principal's name. But I can tell you what was written on the paint handle that strap was nailed to. Big boy. He'd say, lean over that desk. Because I run with the crowd that was swift to run to mischief. Amen?
Yeah.
I better go on. I'm confessing all my sins instead of yours. Amen? He hates a false witness. Proverbs 11. I want you to turn over to Proverbs 11, if you will. Proverbs 11, real quick. I'm going somewhere. Proverbs 11, verse 9. And hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. Now, I want you to notice this. There are false witnesses, even in the church. Now, I'm not just talking about hypocrites. There are hypocrites, but in order to be a hypocrite, it means you're professing something that you're really not.
That's right, yeah.
And then that leads to, the false witness leads to verse 13 in chapter 11. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know what that tells me? These people that are hypocrites love to tell tales. They love it. You know why? As long as they've got you looking at somebody else. And by the way, we all fall and fail all the time. But as long as that guy or that gal with that tail can get you to look at somebody else and make them look real bad, you're not looking at them.
Come on now.
That's the whole thing right there. And God hates that. You know, there's some good Christian that just hadn't made it to where you are yet.
Come on, brother.
And you need to quit letting people point out other people's shortcomings because they're not as mature as you are yet. They haven't gotten to where you are yet. Here's the way I am. If a guy's on his way in the right direction, I'm for him. He may not be there yet. I'm for him. Same way with the gals. I'm for them. If I see them, they're on their way in the right direction. They're trying to live right. They're trying to do right. And they still have some little problems. I'll tell you what. I'll walk with them.
Amen.
But that hypocrite, he or she, they're not changing anything. They're just so busy pointing out other people who haven't matured. Or maybe they have went backward a little bit. And they got us looking at them, that person, instead of looking at the hypocrite. Man. You know, he said that God hates those that sow discord among the brethren. Among brethren, any brethren. A lot of families got one person that's a troublemaker. It don't matter what you do. She's pointing over there. You know why you was pointing at her? Your thumb was pointing at you. All them fingers was pointing right back at you while you was pointing at her. Every family, not every, but a lot of families, you can't have family reunion because this guy or gal is going to show up and they're going to show off. And they sow discord. They have everybody mad at each other all the time. God hates that. God created your family to live in harmony and to love one another. Amen? Somebody needs to have a serious talk with that brother or sister and say, look, we come to this family reunion to enjoy each other's company, and we all got failures and problems. We don't need you pointing them out because you're the biggest one in the family.
Amen.
Now come on here and love us. Act right.
Amen.
Churches have the same problem, family of God. You'll have people come in, and they're so busy pointing other people's sins out and their shortcomings and their immaturity that you're not looking at them. Here's what I say. Why don't you let us go to your house? How about letting us open your closet? How about letting us see what you watch and what you listen to? And let's see who you talk to down at the job. And hey, let us look at your job, what you do down there and how the boss man thinks about you. And by the way, those people never do anything at church. But they're critical of everybody that does something at church. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Well, like tonight, we're going to vote on trustees. It's not a biblical thing. It's a bank thing. The bank requires somebody to represent the church. And of course, they're going to have to be saved, a member of the church, baptized, and they're going to have a good testimony. And also, since it's about money, we looked and see, are they regular tithers and givers? That was one of the qualities. You wouldn't want somebody representing you at the bank that didn't care enough about your church to give a little tithe, amen?
Right, yeah.
But there's other people, and I don't think we have any here. If we do, I'm going to go ahead and preach to you right now. They'll be critical of people because they don't meet their qualification. Come on.
That's right, yeah, preach it, bro.
Amen. Now, you listen to me. God hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Now, if something's wrong, if something's wrong and a brother or sister's in sin, Matthew says, what are you supposed to do? Go to them. Go to them and talk to them. Well, I'm scared they'll get mad. So you want them to get mad at us. You want us to go talk to them. And if we go, it's going to be secondhand information. And then it says if they won't listen to you, then you take a brother or sister with you and you present the problem to them. And then if they won't listen to a brother, sister, two, three with you, then you bring it to the whole church. And then the whole church decides on it. But this behind the scenes, you know where they get behind the scenes and they whisper and they talk, you know. I never would say this, you know. Don't tell the preacher I said this. Don't tell them, Sister Terry. Don't tell her. I wouldn't want to hurt their feelings, you know. I wouldn't want them to, be upset. But I need to tell you something. Over the years, we've had two show up at Rudy's house wanting to do that. You know what he told him? He said, let's go see the pastor. No. Well, have you told him? No, I'm telling you. Y'all need to know. No. He said, well, if you ain't going to tell the pastor, I don't need to hear it either. You need to go talk to the pastor. Now, if somebody comes to you and see, they're not loyal to your church. They're not loyal to the Lord, or they wouldn't be doing that. And I don't know that's going on. It's getting awful quiet in here. I don't know if it's going on. I hope it ain't. It's getting awful quiet. I'm starting to worry about it a little bit here. But they're not going to go by what the Bible said. See, they're not really concerned about the problem. They're just sowing discord. They love to stir up trouble. I used to have my best friend. He could fight. That boy could. I've seen him whoop two at a time. I never could fight. I could run a lot quicker than I could fight. And I lived a lot longer than he did, too, by the way. And but we'd go places, and twice this happened. We'd go in this place, bad places, and he'd say, I want to know who the meanest blankety-blank-blank is in here. And somebody would step up, he'd say, he wants to talk to you. So in discord, almost got me killed. Well, you know, there's some Baptists just like that.
Come on now.
Hey, they don't care about your church. They don't care that your children wouldn't have a place to go to hear the Word of God. They don't care that your grandchildren wouldn't have old-fashioned preaching and singing and biblical teaching and living. They wouldn't care that you'd have to hunt another church. They're just sowing discord. And by the way, when they leave here, they'll do it somewhere else.
That's right. Come on.
Sometimes people get mad at me and they say, well, I want to go somewhere else. And I want to say, what difference does it make where you cause trouble? There's one preacher in town, he said this. I heard he said this, said one woman told him that. And he said, please don't go. We don't want to put that on any other church. Go. I ain't going to say that. Amen. So in discord among the brethren. Now, Brother Rick, for somebody to come into your family and make you hate your brother, that's a sin. And for someone to come into the local church and make you hate somebody in your church, that's a sin. And God hates it.
Yes, He does.
Now, let's get back to number one. And it won't take but a minute. Y'all starting to worry, I can tell. Look at verse 16. These 16 things does the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. A proud look. God hates pride. Well, Pastor, aren't we supposed to be proud of some things in the right way? You're supposed to feel good about raising your family right. You're supposed to feel good about working for a living. You're supposed to feel good about treating your husband or your wife or your children or your grandchildren right. You're supposed to feel good about serving the Lord right, attending church, teaching Sunday school, being a witness. You're supposed to feel good about those things. But when you get to the point of pride, that's when you forget that God is in the picture. It's only by the grace of God you're saved. That's undeserved favor. That's what that word means. It's only by the grace of God that He allows you to live. It's only by the grace of God you've got a job and you can pay your debts. Amen? It's the grace of God that you got clothes to wear. It's the grace of God you found a good Bible-believing church. It's the grace of God He uses us to serve Him and to be a blessing to other people. We don't deserve it not one bit. You know why? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If we got what we deserve, we'd already be in hell.
Amen.
Anything God lets me do, I thank God for it. I usually feel the least among them. I do. I feel the least among them. I avoid preacher meetings because I feel like the least in there. I avoid groups of people because I feel like if I get in there, I'm going to make myself look like an idiot or a fool or something. It's just the grace of God that He uses any of us. Amen?
Amen.
You know what? It's the grace of God. He gave you those children. Now it's going to be the grace of God that He helps you raise those children, because there's a lot of people that's got children that don't know how to raise them, and they're doing it wrong or not doing it at all. And then you take credit for it. Well, let me tell you what I did. Watch out. There was a king in the book of Acts that did that, and God struck him down with a belly full of worms and killed him right there in front of everybody. Proud look. Pride is an abomination to God. What you're doing, you're attributing God's work as being your work. You're attributing God's accomplishment to being your accomplishment. You say, well, preacher, lost people do that. Yes, they do every day. But at least they're blind and ignorant of what they're doing. And we as Christians are not blind. Our eyes have been opened. Our understanding's been enlightened. And we know what we're doing when we let pride slip in. The Bible says that pride always goes before fall. When people start bragging about their great Christianity and all this stuff, I back up, man. I thought, well, it's coming. It's coming, and I don't want to be there when it falls. Get me away from this guy. Get me away from this gal. God's going to do something, and I don't want to be in the middle of it when the lightning strikes. Amen? Amen. Did you know it's an enemy of the faith?
Yes,
it is. Listen to me. Pride is the enemy of the Christian faith. You know why? That's exactly what got Satan cast out of heaven for. He said, I will ascend up. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will. And God showed up and said, oh boy, let me show you what I will. It was his pride. He was beautiful. He was intelligent. He was powerful. And he took credit for all that on himself, a created being. At least we're born. He was created. And he took credit for that, and God cast him out of heaven, and he's doomed him to a devil's hell. And one day, the pit will be open, and he'll be cast into it, all because he was so prideful, he thought he was above God.
Yeah, come on, that's good preaching.
Man told me one time I was witness, he says, what's God ever done for me? I said, he let you wake up and breathe today.
Amen.
He said, God didn't do that. I said, who did it? He said, I did. I said, you ain't got the power to wake up out of your sleep. If God didn't put that in you, you'd never wake up. Amen? Well, that's the way I'm made. Who made that? Well, it evolved. I said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You got more faith than I do if you think you evolved into something like that. Amen? Pride. It's an enemy of our faith. Because, see, if you think you can do it, then you think you don't need God. I need God. I need God. I need Him. I need, like the song says, I need Him. I need Him. I need Him every day. I need Him every hour. I need Him. Another place says, I don't even have sense. I don't know how to enter in or go out without Him. I don't know how to stand or sit without Him. Believe me, I've entered and went out a lot of wrong ways. I know what I'm talking about. I've stood and sat among a lot of wrong people. I know what I'm talking about. Without Him, we're nothing. Sometimes people tell me, preacher, you're such an inspiration. I say, no, I am not. That's His Word. That's His Spirit. All I am is a mouthpiece. I'm like John the Baptist. This is Ron the Baptist. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. That's all I am. I'm just a voice. Think of John standing out there in the desert, nobody around, and he's preaching his heart out. He's just a voice in the wilderness, and that's what we ought to feel like. Don't you take credit for anything, God. Your physical appearance. I know it's late, and I should quit, but I ain't. Boy, we're so proud. We're so proud of how we look. It ought to be when you look in the mirror, you don't see much. I certainly don't see what my wife sees. I wouldn't fall in love and marry with this puss. I never would. Billy, what you do? Amen? You can put Billy right in there anytime. Our appearance. Did you know it's just the grace of God that you don't have cancer that doesn't eat your nose off? I had cancer. They had to cut a bunch of my nose off. Not near enough, but they had to cut a bunch off. But my grandfather died. His cancer eat his nose off. And then it eat his face off. Mom said they had to hang a rag over his face. They didn't know what to do back then. And other people, I've heard the same testimony from other people's grandfathers that died that way. And it's just the grace of God. We live in a country where we can go to the doctor and get things done. I walked up into a church member one day in the hospital, and she was demanding, not this church, but another one I was pastor of, she was demanding the nurses and fussing at the nurses. She even said a bad word when she was talking to the nurse. And when that nurse walked out, I said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself." I said, "God put these nurses in here as ministering angels. And look, this is the worst job in town. I wouldn't do this job. I wouldn't change your stinking bedpan. I wouldn't change those things in your arm. I wouldn't change your diaper." I said, "You ought to thank God that He put people in here that'll care about you enough." And she said, "Well, I don't do it right." She got mad at me and cried. Her husband come over to my house the next day, put his big old fat finger in my face and called me a hypocrite. And I wasn't no kind of pastor. I made his wife cry. I said she needed to cry. Amen. Her old stinking pride. She thought she was better than the people that were keeping her alive. Amen? Amen. Pride's a terrible thing. In the church, pride's the worst thing.
Come on, brother.
Pride's the worst thing. It'll destroy your church. It will. I better go on. I can tell a lot of you get nervous. It's time to eat. Well, he doesn't appreciate my talents. You wouldn't have any talent if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
And by the way, your talent without God is no good.
Yes.
You could be the latest rock star to push a needle in his arm and meet God. Amen. Yes. You could be the latest country star that drank herself to death. Maybe you got some talent. Maybe you do. But look, you ought not brag about your talent. You ought to brag about the God that gave you the talent and use it for His glory.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, you just don't appreciate my intellect. You could be a bumbling idiot if it was not for the grace of God. Amen? It's just the grace of God. You're able to talk and walk and speak. God hates pride. You know what the worst pride is? And I'm going to finish right here. You know what the worst pride is? A sinner that thinks they don't need the Savior. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm going to make it on my own. You're going to die and go to a devil's hell because you thought you was going to make it on your own. You was tough. Let me tell you something. There ain't no tough guys in hell. They're all crying. Every one of them's crying. Amen? I'll never forget when I was a teenager, one of the biggest drunks in town picked me and a friend uptown, was hanging out. And he was drunk, bad drunk. And he said, "Y'all scared to ride with me?" Of course, you say that to a teenager, we getting in. And so, "We ain't scared to ride with you," you know. And we got in, and this is true. He would run off one side of the road, and then he'd pull it back. He'd run off the other side of the road. And I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to take y'all boys to meet the meanest man in Lancaster, in the town of Lancaster." I said, "Oh, okay." So he'd run off this side and run off this side. He took us right up into the city cemetery, pulled up to the headstone of his uncle, and he pointed at it, and he made us get out. And he pointed at it, and he said, "There is the meanest man in town." And he said, "If you live like him and the way I'm living, you're going to die and end up there too."
Wow. Yeah.
Old drunk told us that. We thought we was tough. Pride will destroy you. You say, "I'm I'm tough enough, I'm going to make it. You are deceived.
Amen.
No one will get to heaven except by humbling themselves before a holy God. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a religious fool, full of pride. He pointed that poor sinner at the back, and the Pharisee, he said, "Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not like this publican back here." And what he was insinuating, he eats too much, he drinks too much, he don't dress right, he don't talk right, he don't live in the right neighborhood, don't have the right job. He said, "I just want to thank you, I'm better than him." And the Bible says the poor publican wouldn't even lift up his head. Said he smote his breast, that was a sign of remorse. And he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You got to swallow your pride and get there before you can get saved.
Amen.
That day I come down, I knew I ought to go to hell. I knew I ought to go to hell. And my pride had kept me away from believing on and asking the Lord to save me. My pride, I was worried about what people thought about, would think about me. I was worried about my friends, what they would think about me. I was worried about what the people at work would think about me if I went back and said I had become a Christian. But that day, you know what? I swallowed every bit of that stinking pride and I run down that aisle. And I didn't care what anybody thought then. And I said it in the same way, but a whole lot more words, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or to go to hell, but I don't want to go to hell. I believe Jesus died for me and my sins. I believe He rose from the dead and I'm asking Him to save me and come into my heart. And change me." That old pride went out the window. Jesus came in. You have to humble yourself before the hands of a mighty God. And look, you'll either face Him as your Savior now, or you'll hold on to that pride, which is not going to get you anything. And then when you die, you're going to face Him as your judge. Pride. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I preach too long again, Lord. I always do.